This is the Fearless Agent Podcast, where you learn how to make way more money fast selling real estate with your host, the Fearless Agent himself, Bob Leffler.
And good day to you. This is Bob right here at the Fearless Agent Podcast for real estate sales professionals like you, where we explain why everything you've been taught by the entire real estate industry is wrong, and you will make lots more money in way less time by doing the exact opposite. Ramon B., my sidekick, represents the exact opposite of all things that make sense. How are you, Ramon?
I'm kind of enjoying the weather here today. It's kind of...
Now, we're in Arizona.
Yep.
People may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I looked up the... What do you think the annual rainfall in Arizona is?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, milliliters?
Let's do it in inches.
Inches?
Not liters. No, we're not
going to milliliters. How about in inches?
Gosh, yeah, in inches.
It's got to be a quarter of an inch.
In America, it's in inches. Now, we're not doing centimeters.
No.
It's not Canada.
Annual
rainfall in Arizona. And not Arizona. There are places in Arizona where it rains every day.
That's
I meant
true.
Phoenix.
Goodness, I wouldn't even
know. Yeah, it's
a
big state. We have a lot of stuff.
I don't know, but
right
I like
here,
it.
Right here. You can see the airport from here.
Yes.
So they measure it at the airport. How many inches per year? What would you guess?
An inch. One. That's
you know,
it.
That's what it was when I was a kid. It
one
was
inch.
1 inch. Now it is about 7.
Have you brought more moisture to the area?
You know what happened?
Is that
did you grow up here?
No.
So when I was 15, they had this massive rainstorm, and it went every year. It just rained more and more. So the jet stream, which mm-hmm. is what controls the weather, moved, and the weather just changed overnight. It was 1 year. Everything was different. So we had years where it was like 12 inches of rain. Flooding. That's why they built all the bridges. They never had bridges over the wash before.
Yeah. You know, I've been here over 25 years.
Okay.
And I have seen a lot less monsoons year after year. I kind of look forward to them when they used to come around. They don't.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, so weather changes. It's not global.
It's climate change is what that is.
See? No, it's not. It's called weather.
Oh,
all right. If you're an idiot and you're trying to empty my pockets full of tax dollars, then it's called climate change. If it's if it's just raining, you say, oh, it's weather. Yeah, the weather changes. Now, like they had an ice age here once.
Yes. Yes, they did.
And that went away before we invented the internal combustion engine. What do you call that? Weather.
Weather.
Yeah. So only stupid people think it's climate change. I'm a climate change denier.
It's true.
Yeah. It's more fun that way. Now, we always start with what I like to call the headlines of the day. This is paper, in case you're not familiar with it. You techie people, have you never heard of it? Here's one. There's a new test for dementia. Did you hear about that?
No, I have not.
Even better, there's a new test for dementia. It kind of ties into last week's story about my car.
Right.
So if you're new to Fearless Age, you have to tune into last week.
Last week's.
This is how we
last
get you
week's
to,
podcast.
To listen to the other crap we've done.
We'll explain it all.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Fearless Agent investor presentation. So what a real investor is not a fix and flipper. The fix and flipping thing, I don't know what that is, but it's not investing.
It seems like hard work is what it seems like. Yeah.
Right. So investing is where you invest money and watch it go up in value, whatever you invested in, mutual fund, that's an investment, rental property, that's an investment. Buying a strip mall, industrial land, that's an investment. So one of the things we do after we do it like we always do in every presentation with Fearless Agent, you do it. Basically, it's an elaborate setup that gets to one magic question that has no wrong answer, and you already know the answer. But you brought the investor. Comes in or somebody who wants to become an investor, and then you bring them into the office and they're meeting with you. So one thing I didn't really realize, you know, I invented the Fearless Agent investor presentation for me because I would have people that had investor questions and I, you know, couldn't answer them. I didn't know anything about investing. I'm just a plain old realtor. And then I get the harebrained idea that I'm going to read every book on investing and go to all the seminars. And all of them were very scammy and, you know, kind of turned me off on it. And then finally I went to, I told the story a couple of weeks ago where I went to one that was taught by this old guy who was a financial planner. And he had the plan that made sense. Now, his presentation of it was horrible. But I said, I can take that, the basics, and then explain it better. And maybe turn that into something where I could help people in my real estate business that I could not have otherwise helped. Well, it ended up turning into a little cottage industry and became quite a big deal and became a very high percentage of my business. So we meet with the people. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, how we get into the presentation. And then the first part of it is, you know, the goal. The goal is to get rich slowly, but for sure. You know, this isn't some get rich quick thing. And I think I mentioned this before, but if I rented a couple of hotel meeting rooms and advertised two investor seminars, one is get rich quick, high risk, high return. And the other is get rich slow, but for sure in real estate. Both are real estate things. Which room is going to be packed? Well, the one that's packed is the get rich quick, high return, high risk. And if you don't believe me, go to the casino parking lot at 2 a.m. and see how many cars are there. So when you're meeting with a real estate investor, they're not looking for some scammy thing. They've seen the scammy things. They've been to those seminars. So I'm trying to be the opposite of that and let them know. So the goal is to get rich slowly and earn a 40 to 60% minimum annual rate of return as you're doing it, which in real life you are getting rich pretty quickly if you're doing that. So the purpose is of just the opener of that in the presentation is just to get the investor. If they're a real investor, they're not looking to do business with somebody who's some slipshod, scammy, you know, Jordan Belfort type of ridiculous idiot. They want somebody who's level-headed and is not going to talk them into buying something that's going to potentially hurt them. So secret number one is really this. It's to do something, okay? Most people earn a low rate. Most people are harmed that are real estate investors because they have their money tied up into something that is just an extraordinary low rate of return. And with no money out of pocket, they could exchange that and trade it for something that's an extraordinarily high rate of return that's actually less risky, but they just don't do it. So it's do something is really one of the secrets. So the questions you would want to ask yourself, now if you're an investor, remember, you're already rich. And you know, it's funny, I've been to so many, and I get invited to these all the time because of my station in life, I guess, but I have people who are agents, and they say, hey, there's this investor thing, you know, local people. I think you ought to check it out. And every once in a great while, I always tell them, no, but give me the information, tell me where it is. And then I go just to refresh myself on how screwed up these things are. And when I go to, you know, it's at a hotel meeting room, who is in the audience? It is people who don't even speak English. It is people who don't have two working headlights on their car. It is people who, you know, don't even own a car. It is broke, poor people that fall for this get rich quick crap that's out there. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere, you know. So that is not what we're doing here. Okay. This is sensible, and we're not talking to people who want to get rich. We're talking to people who are already rich. If you're an investor, you're already rich. You're investing money that you already made. This is not a way to make money. So those people that you see in those investor seminar classes or whatever you call them, they need to get off meth and get a frickin' job and work and then earn enough money and not blow it on drugs and alcohol. That's why they're broke. So it's for rich people. So we're meeting with people who are already rich or have the potential of referring me to people who are already rich. So again, secret number one is do something with the money that you've already got to invest. And I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting around that's somewhat liquid that you could invest, or it may be tied up in a property that's underperforming. So one question to ask yourself is, what rate of return am I getting now? They never know that. An investor who owns land, let's say, or a multifamily property or something that's always underperforming, condos, they don't even know how to calculate their rate of return. They don't know what they're getting now. The other thing is, are you gonna do more of the same? So maybe they're investing in single family homes in the right part of town with quality tenants, and that's working great, and they're already getting a 40 to 60% annual rate of return. Maybe they just want to do more of the same. And then, or maybe they have, they're doing the right thing in the right area, but their rate of return is low because they've hung on to it too long, and they could, you know, do a 1031 tax-free exchange and turn one of those into three, and that dramatically increases their rate of return. Or maybe it's invest for the first time. Maybe they've never invested. They have a bunch of money saved up in something. Or the other option, which I already alluded to, was exchange. You've got something that's underperforming, and you would exchange it tax-free, no money out of pocket maybe, for something that does make better sense and make you a lot more money. So the first secret is just do something, okay? Not sit around and wait and, you know, pretty soon you say, oh, I should have done that a long time ago. So secret number two is financing, or as people call it, leverage. So I would have everybody take out a piece of paper and draw two single-family homes. Look, these are stick-figure houses right next to each other, okay? So let's do that. There's the little roof. Now, in the body of the house, just to do round numbers, these are not real numbers. These are just round numbers to illustrate the idea. $100,000, let's say, is the price of these two houses, okay? So when you illustrate this to a client and you're going, here's the dumb guy and here's the smart guy, okay, you're the dumb guy. The client is always the smart guy. Remember that. So there's two houses right next door to each other. We're going to rent them out, okay? They're going to be rentals. And I am the one on the left. I put $100,000, $100,000 down cash. So in the roof of the house, I write $100,000. You are going to buy the one right next door. You are going to put $10,000 down, which means you're going to have to get a loan, okay? Now, you have a payment on your loan. I do not have a payment because I put $100,000 cash down, okay? Now, we're going to rent it out, all right? Now, which of us we're renting it out and the tenant is paying us rent. Okay. Now, I don't have a loan to pay. I get to keep all the rent money. You have a loan to pay, so you don't get to keep all the loan money, or maybe any of it. So which of us has more of what we would call positive cash flow? And then the investor, because they're not stupid, would say, well, you do, Bob. You have more positive cash flow because you get to keep all the rent. But here's the thing about that. On day one, I put down $100,000 of negative cash flow, didn't I? And there is no amount of rent from which I will recover from that. Okay. So I had $100,000 of negative cash flow on day one. So positive cash flow is the big lie. Okay. It is an indicator of a low rate of return, typically. So you put down $10,000, and maybe you don't have any positive cash flow. Maybe you have a break-even cash flow. Maybe you have a little negative cash flow. Okay. Now, both of these houses are going to double in value someday, aren't they? Now, we could argue about how many years it would take for that to happen. It could happen in 5 years in some markets. It could happen in 15. It could happen in 10. But at some point, there's no town in America where you would go find a single-family house built in the 1950s that has not doubled in price. It just doesn't. But it's going to happen at some point. So then when it happens, and again, we could argue about how long that'll take, both of these houses, and we'll write this below the houses, will be $200,000, 200K. I write that below the two houses. When that happens, how much have I made? And the answer is $100,000, right? How much have you made? Well, you could have bought with the same $100,000, 10 of those houses, and you would have made $1 million in the same period of time. And that's the difference between getting rich and dying broke right there. So that dispels the myth of positive cash flow. Positive cash flow is something that people talk about who are not investors. I don't know where that stuff comes from, but it's crazy. So you want to divide your investment. Now, at some point, you'll become really old. You're 90 years old, and you don't want to be highly leveraged, and all those 10 rental properties are paid off. You can't earn income, and now that is your income. That positive cash flow is your income. But when you're young or only 60 or only 70, that's not what you're looking for, okay? So you want to divide your investment capital as many times as you can so that you get a much higher return, but do it not so many times that, for example, the 10% down in my example, that would be too risky for most people. That would be crazy. I would not recommend that. I just used that as an example to show you the difference between getting rich and dying broke, okay? So you want a high rate of return and safety. So probably a good idea would be to put down maybe 30%, maybe 40%, so you get a break-even cash flow. So you're going to take the rent you take in, you're going to take the property taxes that you pay out, you're going to take the loan payment that you pay out, the insurance, the homeowner's insurance on that property, and then vacancy rate. There's going to be normal upkeep and repairs and stuff. After you factor all that in, what percentage would you have to put down to have a break-even cash flow? Again, if you're Bill Gates or Oprah, you wouldn't care if you had a 1,000,000% negative cash flow. Negative cash flow is not going to be a problem for people who are insanely rich, okay? But insanely rich people don't invest in single-family homes. They invest in shopping centers, and they get a much lower rate of return, actually. But they're moving big sums of money on tax-free exchanges, and they can't do single-family homes for that reason, which we could talk about at a later time in a more advanced setting. So, again, divide your capital. So if you're a starting investor, you got $300,000 to invest or $100,000 to invest, maybe a break-even cash flow or a little bit negative or a little bit positive is probably where you would want to be. So the next secret, we'll call it secret number three, is location, 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 right? So what parts of town offer the highest appreciation? So when I was going to all these scammy seminars, there were all these things that I would hear, like invest in the path of growth. Please write that down, path of growth. It makes sense for an investor to invest in the path of growth. The other one is newer homes go up in value faster than older homes. That's a common thing you hear in these investor seminars. And then the clip-on things like a golf lot, view lot, you know, stuff like that is good for investing. So, you know, I've grown up here in Phoenix, lived here for all my life, and I would hear these things in these investor seminars, and I'd say, you know, that's not true. I've lived here my whole life. I know that what they're saying is simply not true, and it's figure outable. It's provable. You can do math. You can look up the records, you know. So an example of that is I had some investor clients. These are guys that I went golfing with in Elyria, Ohio, and at my father-in-law's country club. So I'm riding in the cart with these guys, and they say, oh, Bob, you know, we come out to the Phoenix area in the winter, with Cleveland is lovely in the winter. Have you been there? The Rust Belt in the winter, there's nothing better.
Right? Sounds so exciting. My next vacation.
Yeah. So these guys own banks. You know, they're rich guys, country club guys. And I'm not a country club guy, but, you know, I'm getting free golf. So what the heck? So they said, you know, we're thinking about buying a condo out in Arizona. And I said, okay, well, next time you come out, give me a call and we'll talk, you know. So we go out and they stay on this place called Arizona Golf Resort. So if from where Ramon and I are sitting, if we went about 30 minutes east of us out of town, we're kind of almost downtown here. We're in a skyscraper, so we're kind of downtown. But we'd go about 30 minutes east of here and south a little bit. We'd be at Arizona Golf Resort. Lovely, lovely area. You know, nothing wrong with that. And it was very new back then. And so they play golf on that golf course. They said, you know, we'd like to buy a condo here so we don't have to rent all the time and deal with that. And I go, okay, great. So I sell them a condo. So then they said, you know, we'd also like to buy a rental property and a rental house. And I said, well, what are the criteria you're looking for when you buy a rental property? So they said, well, we want something that's in the path of growth because that's good for investing. We want something that's newer, you know, because that's good for investing. They've been to the seminars. And we'd like something with a golf course lot because that would be good for investing. And I go, okay. I said, well, you know, we're sitting on this golf course. This golf course is in the path of growth. The houses here are newer. What if we found one here? You know, how would that be for you? And they go, oh, that'd be fantastic. You know, then we could hit our own rental property with our own golf balls while we're playing golf. That'd be fantastic. So I find them one on the golf course, write this down, $92,000. So draw a picture of on the left side of a piece of paper, draw a skyscraper. Okay? That is downtown Phoenix. There's our little skyscraper. Then draw an arrow going an inch or two to the right and write 8 miles. And then draw an arrow going farther, that same arrow going farther to the right and write 30 miles. Okay. And then below the 30 miles, write $92,000. Okay. So back in those days, and I forget what year that was, they I found them that house. It was $92,000. And I said, showed it to them, and they said, Bob, you did a great job. This is exactly what we are looking for. I said, okay. Now, before we write an offer on this, I have one other house to show you that I think is going to be a much better investment for you. Would you want to see it or not? They said, yeah, we'd love to see it. I drive them west from that house to the area that's about 8 miles east, and we are currently sitting, this is 24, it's 8 blocks to a mile, so it's 8, 16. So we're about 3 miles east of downtown Phoenix. So I take them to 8 miles. Now, that house was built in 1956. It was kind of dingy, so it's not new. There has been no growth in that area. That was 56th Street and Thomas, roughly. And there's been no growth in that area since the 1960s, so it's certainly not in the path of growth. It's certainly not newer. There is no golf lot. They go, hey, Bob, this is exactly what we're not looking for. Thank you very little. Let's go buy the other one. I go, okay. You know, my job is to show you all your options. So that one was also $92,000. It was smaller, crappier, and, you know. But I thought it was in an area that would appreciate faster. So they buy the house that was on their golf course. And then 8 years later, they call me up and they say, hey, Bob, we've got an investment that we want to do, but we need the money from that house. Can you sell that house for us? I said, of course. You know, the market's great. You know, now's a good time to sell. So 8 years later, we sell that house, go to your little drawing of the 30 miles outhouse that we paid for $92K. They sold it for $125,000. I sell it for $125,000. They are super happy. They told me that was the highest rate of return they had ever gotten on any property that they had ever invested in. And that same year, go to the left now, that house 8 miles from town, the dingy one that was not in the path of growth, that was not newer and didn't have the golf course lot, sold for $180,000. It doubled in value in the same 8 years, where the other one went up a little bit. It did fine. Why did the one I recommended to them that they didn't buy double in value in the same 8 years and the other one didn't? Oh, that's right. Because those lies you hear at the investor seminars are not true. Path of growth is a disaster for investing. I hear these people say, oh, I'm going to buy out here because they're putting in a Tesla plant, or I'm going to buy out here because they're putting in Intel, or Apple's opening. They're always opening that crap out on the outskirts of town. It's a disaster. Okay. Newer homes are not better. They're normally worse, but they're only worse because they're in newer areas. Now, if it was a new home built in an old area, that would be fine. And then the clip-on tie, which I call the golf course lot, the golf lot causes you to pay extra for the house when you buy it. Okay, so they paid $92,000 back in the day for the golf lot. If they'd have bought across the street, it wouldn't be on a golf course, and maybe they would have paid, you know, I don't know, $75,000 for the same house. So the golf lot makes it more expensive, but that view and the golf lot doesn't go up in value. It's always going to be worth about that, whatever the lot premium is. It doesn't. By the way, the house never goes up in value. The house doesn't go up in value. The view doesn't go up in value. The golf course view doesn't go up in value. What's the only thing that goes up in value? Oh, that's right. The land underneath the house. And the closer that land is to downtown, any town, the higher the appreciation rate is going to be. And there are no exceptions to that ever, all things being equal, which of course they never are. The only what would look like an exception to that is when you're close to a beach. The beach is like downtown, okay? So in any town, you've got the hood side of town and the good side of town. In Phoenix, the west side of town is less desirable than the east side of town. The north side of town is more desirable than the south side of town. If I go to Salt Lake City, the south side of town is actually more desirable than the north side of town. The east side of town is more desirable. So every town is different. So whichever side of town is the hood, that's not the side. Now, there may be very nice parts of the West Phoenix, and there are, but they're not going to appreciate like East Phoenix is going to. So all you got to do is pick about 8 or 6 miles from downtown or the beach, if that's what you're up against. And that's going to put you in 1960s-ville. And those houses are modern enough that they have drywall over studs. And they build houses the same way today. In the year 2024, they're building houses the way they built them in the 1960s. There's literally no difference. So the foundations are the same. The walls are the same. The interior. So you go back to 1940. Yeah, you might get a higher rate of return. You probably would. But when you have a repair and you're chipping, you know, you're chiseling plaster off of chicken wire, and, you know, that's a whole day, and the plumbing is different, everything. There's crawl spaces and all that crap. So I would go to 1960s-ville on the good side of town, and that's going to – by the way, in the year 2024, that house I recommended – that doubled in value and went to 180, I would guess that's probably 1.2 million today. Okay. And the one that's way out east of town, it wouldn't be anywhere near that. So much better investment. So by the way, if any of the stuff we talk about here on the Big Fearless Agent podcast makes any sense to you whatsoever, and I'm not talking about the headlines of the day, that makes no sense to anybody with a brain, right, Ramon?
Oh, they know that.
Okay. I don't have to do a disclaimer.
No, okay. No disclaimer.
But if you if you'd like to learn more, go to fearlessagent.com. Watch our free webinar. It's in the banner on the top over on the right-hand side. Then give me a call. We can do a complimentary coaching call for you, 480-385-8810. Toll-free, day or night. That's my cell phone. I'll probably answer. And we'll just see if what you're trying to do in your real estate career and what we do at Fearless Agent, if that would be a good fit. If it is, you'll get rich. If it's not, I'm still happy to help you in any other ways I can. And by the way, if you're a real estate company owner and you happen to be recruiting fewer producing agents, or maybe you'd like to have a Fearless Agent event just for your company, or if you need a speaker for the event you're already having, I'm up for coming and telling my little jokes to your crowd. For that, you can go to fearlessagentrecruiting.com. You can go to my speaking page on my website and hear my shtick. And then go to fearlessagent.tv, subscribe to that. Please do give us subscribe to the podcast here if you haven't done that already. And then give us a 5-star review if you would. That would help us out. And until next week, I want you to do what we always do. Always have fun. Most of all, stay humble. Most of all, be fearless. Thanks, gang.